The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Welcome to Chris Clegg's Minor League Baseball Show. Insight on the future starts of Major League Baseball today, from in-depth scouting reports, player interviews, and can't-miss performances. If it's happening in the minors, we have you covered. Here's your host, Chris Clegg.
What is up, folks? Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. It's July 17th. It's our final day without a full slate of minor league baseball again till the end of the season. Well, I guess technically next Monday, but we'll have some complex in DSL to talk about. But we're back tomorrow. We'll be at the ballpark. We'll have Brooklyn in town, which will be fun. So I'm excited to see some of the Brooklyn Cyclones. I think they're one of the better lineups in baseball. So we'll miss Chris Suero, who just got called up to Double A. We'll see who they replace him with from Single A. So it could be interesting. We'll see there, but I am excited to see the Brooklyn Cyclones lineup. Hopefully see Nate Dom pitch. Just a three-game set this weekend, so not sure exactly who we'll get, but I am looking forward to that series. We want to talk a little MLB draft today. Obviously, it's still fresh on people's mind. I just want to talk a broad overview of the draft because, you know, it was a wild, wacky draft when you look at it and how it transpired, how it played out, but it was a fun one. I think there's a lot of hidden talent in this draft. Everybody's kind of looking like broad spectrum at some of the, you know, overarching kind of like pieces. And I think people are missing some really good players late. I'm excited to kind of bring those to light. I'm not going to do that today. Today's kind of a broad overview of the draft, a couple player highlights, all that stuff. But before we get to it, the show is brought to you by Connect Roasters. Connect Roasters is Ian Happ's coffee company, and they make an incredible blend of coffee. Connect Roasters offers a wide variety of different blends, but you can get the Gold Glove blend, buy one, get one 50% off by using the code DynastyDugout at checkout. Also, go check out their canned cold brews. When I tell you they are just incredibly smooth, I'm not lying to you. I think that's an incredible, incredible cup. And that canned cold brew is good. You know, pour a little cold foam over, however you want to. It's great. Also, we're partnering with Chinook Seedery, who is the best sunflower seeds in the game. Chinook has all sorts of flavors. You want them, they got them. All sorts of great flavors there. The cinnamon toast, definitely one of my favorites. The dill pickle, some of my favorite. But you can go try it out. Get 10% off your order at ChinookCeedery.com. All right, let's dive right in off the top. So kind of a broad overview of the draft was a lot of prep shortstops and maybe some that will move off the position and a lot of college pitchers. Now, this college pitcher crop is pretty good, and I think there ended up being some really good landing spots for some of these guys, and it worked out really nicely. The board definitely didn't unfold how we expected. I think a lot of people expected to start Cade Anderson and then Liam Doyle, 1-2. And we certainly got fireworks from the get-go. Eli Willits went 1-1. Tyler Bremner went 1-2. That lifts Cade Anderson to 1-3, a perfect landing spot in Seattle. We will talk about that, but you know, the draft was interesting how it played out. We saw teams go a variety of directions when we look at the draft board and how it transpired. Teams really went with fits that they liked in the draft. Even some underslot guys. You know, the Braves go Tate Salvesen at 22. He was like 1.4 mil under slot. He's one of the first, him and Liam Doyle, some of the first rounders to sign. Mitch Voit, first rounder to the Mets under slot, which is interesting. I do like that value there. Most of our first rounders have not signed yet, but that's okay. They all will. Can pretty much assure you of that. But when we look down the board and when we see these teams and what they did, I think it's pretty fascinating. We certainly got interesting in the 20 range where you know, teams kind of went all over. The Braves went interesting. I thought the Royals went interesting. The Tigers definitely went interesting. The Padres are on brand with the Cruz Schoolcraft. The Phillies get an electric arm in Gage Wood. The Guardians take somebody who they never would have taken years ago in Jace LaViolette, which was a great pick for them. They needed that kind of bat in the system. Too many safe bats in that system. Let's get some upside. And Jace is that guy. The Yankees went Dax Kilby. Mentioned Mitch Foyt already signing with the Mets. And Zach Root, pretty interesting guy with the Dodgers. Dodgers always develop and come through. So, you know, it got interesting. And I thought as we went on, it also became apparent that teams had a certain strategy and they were willing to go certain ways. They definitely, the Braves especially, they certainly were underwhelming for the majority of the draft. But we know that they're going to give big bonuses to Connor Essenberg, who they've signed for $1.2 million, who has a slot value of $438K there. And Briggs McKenzie, that's a $588K slot. He's expected to get way over slot, but they underslot Cody Miller by about $500K in the third. They underslot Alex Lodice in the second by about, you know, $200K. And the underslot on Tate Southsein. So it's all setting up for ultimately them to pay Briggs McKenzie a lot of money there. But you look at the rest of the picks, and it kind of made sense. I thought the Orioles draft was interesting, given their bonus pool. They could have done a lot of unique things with this pool. They had the highest bonus pool in the class. They go Ike Irish at 19. Irish fallen a bit. He was projected to go a bit higher. We'll see where that slot lands. They didn't take Caden Bodine at 30. He's a safe catcher who, what kind of impact does he have? Take Vahiva Aloy, who has hit tool risk for days. And then all that money that they had, the only prep guy, Slater DeBrun, who I like, but DeBrun's small. It's kind of a Slade Caldwell comp, but he's not as strong as Slade Caldwell. Caldwell got to see like last weekend, I guess. Golly, time's going fast. At the prospect pad, he's hanging around the hotel. This dude jacked. Like he's a really strong frame. I know he's shorter, but I would say DeBrun is shorter than Slade Caldwell and definitely not as strong. So, you know, it's a fascinating profile where they had all this money and it honestly feels like they came away with nothing to show for it. You know, they did take Cole Johnson in the 18th round. It was the only other high school. Well, they took Jaden Loray in the fifth. So there's a couple high school guys and then they have some JUCO guys as well. But ultimately, like, it was kind of surprising what the Orioles did with that bonus. You look at it and you're like, yeah, there's a lot of good opportunity. And I'm not saying they squandered it, but ultimately, like, outside the college guys, kind of like, okay, like, I like DeBrun fine. I thought DeBrun went where he was projected to go, in my opinion. Some are really high on Slater DeBrun, not quite there on him. And then we'll see if they can sign, like, a Cole Johnson later in the 18th. Thought that was kind of interesting. I love what the Athletics did from a broad overview standpoint. I mean, Jamie Arnold, the Athletics have shown us time and time again, they can draft well. And they take the best available on the board always. They took Jamie Arnold at 11. I love the Devin Taylor pick at 48. Gavin Turley gives you a lot of upside at 110. Zane Taylor's interesting. Grant Richardson's interesting. You go down the board a little bit, and they took some guys that I thought were pretty fascinating as well. A Jay Dill in the 18th, interesting. Jackson Phipps in the 16th, like, could be interesting. There's just some guys that I really liked what the Athletics did, like, from a broad overview perspective. And it looked like they kind of came out pretty well with what they were doing. And certainly there was a lot of value to be had there. There's some other teams that I thought had really good drafts. I mean, the Dodgers, considering they didn't pick until 40, I thought came out like bandits. I mean, to get Zach Root, to get Charles Davalon, hope I'm pronouncing that right. I mean, two Arkansas guys, but, and then Cam Leiter, like, if Cam Leiter was healthy, and I know he's not, which is why he went 65. If Cam Leiter was healthy, this might be someone that ended up going in the first round, one of the highest college arms taken. And then, like, they go and get, I'm a butcher, their third round picks named Landon Vidoric. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But Cincinnati outfielder is interesting. But their prep players they took in the fourth and the sixth, I'm highly fascinated with. Aiden West, a shortstop prospect, 6'2", 205, really strong, left-handed swing, a lot of bat speed, a lot of pop, really good athlete. And then Mason Legenza in the sixth. Legenza looks like another Brendan Tunick to me, where Legenza is like tall, he's got power, he's got some speed, good athlete. There's hit tool questions, but if it clicks, like, awesome. They take a Jack O'Connor in the eighth, who, yes, like, he's been hurt. He was just out of the bullpen in 2025 because his elbow, but man, this kid had shown flashes at some points. Like, he was very hyped at points, and they get him, which was awesome. I know Logan Lunsford of Wake Forest is small, low probability starter at 5'10", but man, this kid has strong traits. Sam Horn, this will be interesting in the 17th. Like, this kid might play start quarterback for Missouri this year. Like, he might be the starting quarterback in the SEC. So I'll be really fascinated if they sign him or if he goes back to Mizzou. This kid's got a really good arm. I'm talking like 95 on the fastball, 90 up to 98. It's a decent slider. He throws a sweeper, mid-80s changeup, pretty good extension, 6'4" athlete. If the Dodgers sign him in the 17th, then they've really killed this draft. So broad overview, like, I really liked what the Dodgers did. I thought the Nationals were phenomenal. I mean, assuming they're going to sign all these guys, because you look at their 6th through 10th round picks, and they signed those picks, 6th through 10th round, for a combined $85,000. So there's some big savings there, and they're going to use it. They're going to have to use it on these guys because they took Eli Willits 1-1. I'm sure he's going to get underslot, 11 mil bonus, but Ethan Petrie in the second. I mean, for all the things people have said about Ethan Petrie, it's some of the best power in the college class. He improved his contact rate substantially this year. The approach can play. Petrie stuck in the corner outfield. I know people like he's a first base only, and he might be 6'4", 235, but this kid can swing it. And they take Landon Harmon, a right-handed arm that I loved. I love Landon Harmon. Harmon in the third, 6'5", prep righty, really big stuff. Miguel Syme Jr., in the fourth, this kid's like up to 100. He's electric. LSU commit, 6'4", 235. I mean, there's bullpen questions, there's command questions, but if they rein it in, Miguel Syme Jr., phenomenal pick. And Coy James in the fifth, like, this kid was talked about in the second round, like, really good traits with Coy James, really good feel to hit. Yes, he did kind of take a step back from where he was valued like a year ago, but potential like 20 home run pop. He's got average speed. You know, we'll see if he sticks it short. It'll be interesting. He's a little smaller, 6'185", but this is a good pick in my opinion. They'll sign him for sure. We'll be curious to see if they, I'm just doubting they sign Mason Pike in the 19th. He is a prep righty out of Washington. I'm guessing that we see him go to school. He's committed to Oregon State. That would be my guess there, but interesting arm. And Ben Moore, a lefty out of Old Dominion, probably their one of my favorite picks of theirs from the 11th through 20th round outside of Pike, who doubting they sign. He's a good arm as well. So from a broad overview, those are some teams that had really good drafts, and it'll be really interesting to see how these play out. Let's take a quick break. I want to talk a couple of the top picks and we'll get out of here. Tomorrow we'll come back with some draft sleepers and more, and then they'll be at the ballpark tomorrow night, guys. Can't wait for that. So take a quick break, and I'll be right back with it, talking about some of the top picks. All right, we're back at it. Eli Willits went 1-1. This video from Baseball America, do a tremendous job. A lot of respect for all of those guys. Hung out with them this past weekend. Really good, dude. So shout out to them for the video here of Eli Willits. Man, Willits is a fascinating prospect. When you look at him, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe he's a bit smaller. We'll play that again for you. This is a lefty bat with a good hit tool, a really good feel for velocity and spin. Willits does a lot of things well. He's presently a plus runner. The question's with the impact, guys, and I understand that. I'm kind of betting on some impact coming. We'll see what kind of impact Willits does get to. I think that's the biggest question in the profile. But if it comes, like, I've comped this guy to like a Kevin McGonigal. Maybe he doesn't get to that kind of power. That would be okay. He's a better runner. He has that kind of feel to hit, and he's a little bit taller. So the numbers on Eli Willits on the prep side or the showcase side of things were fantastic. He was 17 and a half years old, very simple operation in the box. So when you look at like an Eli Willits, it's a lot to like in that profile. very simple operation, small stride, quick hands, just explosive through the zone. Maybe I'm a little high on him, but I think that at 1-1, it completely made sense why the Nationals went this way. So we'll see. I think we have to see how the power plays out. But if it does come, then Wiltz is going to be a stud. I think he could be a consistent 2020 type with really good batting average. And yes, I understand that there's guys in this class that could be superstars, but I'll take the safety of Wiltz here. I really like the pick a lot. You know, when we look at the Angels made a crazy play to get Tyler Bremner. And maybe it's not crazy. I'll say they surprised taking Tyler Bremner at 1-2. I mean, when you look at Bremner, he entered the season with Jamie Arnold, and they were like probably the consensus top two prep or say college draftees pitchers in the class. And you just watch some of these highlights. You watch those. That changeup's disgusting. The fastball will play. I think that he made some improvements on the fastball down the stretch. And we saw Bremner like really take those steps forward. You know, you look at the surface ERA, he had some rough starts to begin the season, and walks were an issue at times. But Bremner, I think the stuff could play. I think that it'll be fast track to the majors. Obviously, the landing spot in Los Angeles, don't love just given the development track record, but he probably gets to the majors as fast as any other player in this draft class, which you like to see if you're playing fantasy baseball. That's obviously great. And then Bremner, with the improved fastball, like he was sitting mid-90s consistently, 18 to 20 inches of vert, 15 inches of arm side. Like you're going to watch, like if you watch these, he's good at creating the east-west movement. And so from a 5-9 release height, it's fairly short extension, but the stuff is there from Bremner. That changeup's disgusting. I know there's some breaking balls there, but that changeup, that thing just an airbender. And it's probably the best changeup in the class. So we have to talk about that from that standpoint. Like 20 inches of fade, it falls out of the sky. I think it tunnels that fastball extremely well. So there's a lot of traits with Bremner to like. And I think you look at the slider, it's a decent third offering. I think that will need to be further developed. You have to wonder, what will Los Angeles do with that pitch? It's a mid-80s pitch. It's been hit hard at times. And it did have a 33% whiff rate. So it did have decent whiff numbers. I think that you look at the fastball changeup combo and it can play. But you're hoping that slider like refines itself further. It's a really high floor arm. So that pick was surprising, but I don't think it was bad. Cade Anderson, however, I think there's an argument for Cade Anderson to be the top player taken in FYPDs. I know you say pitcher, yeah, but Anderson in Seattle is a dream, guys. I think you realize what a dream this is for Cade Anderson to be in this spot. Look at the starters that Seattle's developed just year over year. They've done a tremendous job. And I know some of the guys aren't this same profile. Like a Brian Wu isn't the same profile. A Bryce Miller isn't the same profile. But honestly, like, look at Logan Gilbert. Look at George Kirby. They have developed this profile like a Cade Anderson. That College World Series final was electric. 130 pitches. My goodness, guys. What a tremendous start that kind of sealed his fate in the top of that draft. Now, I kind of thought it might be 1-1. I was shocked. I was especially shocked when it wasn't 1-2 after he wasn't picked by the Nationals. But here, Cade Anderson fell to the perfect development slot. And those were all the strikeouts from that game. Just a phenomenal showing. Draft eligible sophomore. He was good as freshman year, but really took off. 119 innings, 3.18 ERA with 180 strikeouts to 35 walks. He did allow 16 home runs, which was where most of the damage came. But overall, like, Cade Anderson was phenomenal this year. The fastball doesn't stand out because it sits 93, but he spins it well. You've seen some of the video here. 19 inches of IVB from a 6-foot release height. That will tick down with a pro ball, but good arm side run. He's even a little cut at times. It's a tough pitch. Changeup's nasty. It's 50% whiff rate this season, 12 to 15 inches of fade there on that pitch. He gets chase out of the zone. He gets end zone whiffs, like just all the things. So, I mean, when you look at Cade Anderson, it's kind of the sum of the parts with like four above average offerings that might be better. And then you throw in the breaking balls as well. It's two breaking balls, a mid-80s slider with some depth and like 6 to 8 inches of sweep. And then it's a curveball with like negative 15 IVB and 10 inches of sweeping action. So Cade Anderson just does it all, guys. And when you look at the like larger profile, it's the pitchability, it's the sum of the parts, it's the command. Those things in Seattle, I just think are going to play so well. And you have to love that he could be pushed quickly and not be phased. I really expect Anderson to just move fast. I think he's in that rotation pretty soon in 2026. And it's just really, really good stuff. So that was the third overall pick. The most popular, we knew it type pick was definitely going to be Ethan. I mean, it's got some hit for power. He's got some bloodlines in Colorado. His video's from Prep Baseball, Oklahoma. The credit to them for the video there. I mean, this kid just swings it, and he can hit for power. Holiday was the top player for a lot of people in this draft, which for me, he wasn't. And that's okay. I don't hate Ethan Holiday by any means. Actually, I love Ethan Holiday. I love him. He's a great person. He really is just a solid dude and a great baseball player. I have questions. I'm going to be honest in my mind. And I have questions about the growth. If you look at the swing, like, there's definitely some resemblance of Dad and Jackson in there, for being honest. It's a power stroke for days. And he had a phenomenal high school season. So the questions for me is like, okay, like, he didn't face great competition with you in high school rank, so you have to go back to the show where he faced, like, some of the better competition. And when he did, there were some struggles that maybe is fixed. We can't sit here and say we know. This was a year. And yes, the high school numbers were great, but competition. So when you look in the end zone contact rate, just above 70% on the showcase, he struggled with velocity, he struggled to pull fastballs. Like, I think there's question marks. And so were there gains during his senior year? It's possible. I mean, if he struggles against velocity, then, you know, there's concerns in the absolutely. But I do think that if it clicks, like, Holiday would be a 30 home run back. No denying that. I mean, it's power for days. He's in course good where, I mean, it's going to play off. Like, his batting average is going to be boosted by course. So maybe the 30 hit tool improved just given the fact that he's playing in course field, but it could come in a 230 batting average. I think Holiday's a major leaguer. No doubt about it. I'm not saying you shouldn't pick him in the first round, but that's just kind of where I am on Ethan Holiday. And then Liam Doyle. Liam Doyle went fifth to the Cardinals, which actually a great fit. I mean, this dude's electric. Just watch that video. Like, absolutely electric. This was just a fastball that he jammed up in the seventh inning. I think it was up to, what, 99? Just like absurd velocity from Liam Doyle. Just, yeah, 99 running up in the seventh inning there. I think Doyle had the singular best fastball in the draft class. It'll be interesting because you look at the Cardinals mold and it's kind of not him with the fastball shape. So what do they do with the fastball shape? We'll see there. But Liam Doyle, you know, it was three schools. It was Coastal Carolina, it was Ole Miss, and then Tennessee. But the dude just got better. Like, that's all he did. He got better and better. He struck out 164 batters in 95 innings this year, walked 32, a 34.3% strikeout minus walk rate. This fastball, he did use 65% of the time, so that's something to note. He did have a 40% whiff rate on it, which is elite. Set 96, 19 inches of vert from a 5'9 release height, 12 inches of horizontal movement. So, you know, while there are, you know, maybe questions about the fastball usage, like, I look at this profile, he does have a nasty split. It's an 86 miles an hour, 10 inches of arm side, late depth to it. You love that pitch. I mean, it paired with the fastball to give him two pitches with 40% whiff rates. He threw a cutter type shape at 87, inconsistent slider, sweeper-esque in the low 80s, 10 inches of sweep, good depth. So yes, the floor might be a reliever. He might be a really good reliever at that, but there is upside. There's shades of Garrett Crochet here and how, you know, it took time for Crochet to develop. Obviously, he went to the bullpen immediately in Chicago after being drafted. He also was hurt, missed time, but now look at Garrett Crochet, one of the best starters in the game. So Liam Doyle could become that, but we'll see what it becomes. Those are the top five picks, guys. Tomorrow we'll be back. We'll talk some more draft because that's on everybody's mind. That's a lot of fun. But thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow we'll talk some draft sleepers, some guys I like for FYPD. Put all that together and we'll be back tomorrow. But be sure to subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. It's been another edition of Chris Clegg's Minor League Baseball Show. We will see you guys.